It's hard to imagine that another year has quickly flown by. And you know, I'm really not into New Year's resolutions. I don't know how many of you are, but I'm kind of one of those individuals who is not. And I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But I wanted to use our first Sunday together to kind of focus a little bit about this new year and what God may be doing this year and what he may have in store for us as individuals, but also for us as a church. But then also taking this time to reflect a little on the past year. And, you know, again, I don't know how many of you take some time out to actually reflect and think about the past year, because I know with the holidays it can be very crazy and very busy, you know, either with gathering with family or friends or returning gifts or whatever. But I wanted to take some time today to really think about last year, to think about this year, and to really commit this new year to the Lord. So as we have entered into a new year, I really want to focus on three words, three verbs that are remember, forget, and see. And these concepts and words are actually taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. And it's my prayer that that today we will be able to remember, to forget, and also to see what God is doing in our midst. For those of you who were at New Vine last week, you pretty much know what I'm going to be talking about. So I hope that you will have a nice review and whatever you didn't get at New Vine, that the Lord will speak to you today. So let's all stand and read together Isaiah 43, 16 to 21. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Thank you. Please be seated. This may be a very familiar passage for some of us. But the context of this passage is that God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel when they were actually in captivity by the Babylonians. This was a captivity that lasted for about 70 years. And the Israelites really felt down and out. They were in exile. They were away from their homes. They were in a foreign and distant land. And you can perhaps imagine maybe some of the emotions that they may have been going through. You know, a sense of defeat, a sense of despair, a sense of, you know, God, what's going on? Will this ever end? God, will you ever pull through? You know, you promised that, you know, you're going to bless us. You promised that you'll make us into a great nation. Would God be true to his promises? And the first concept that I want to focus on is really the word remember. And, you know, it's the first concept, but also an action word. And this concept is really taken from the first two verses that we read, from verses 16 to 17, where Isaiah is saying, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now, you'll see that the Lord is actually reminding the Israelites of the great things that he did for their forefathers many years ago when he brought them out of slavery in Egypt. From Exodus chapter 14. You know, he reminded them of the miracles, of the 10 plagues, of how Pharaoh's heart was hardened, but how eventually Pharaoh let the Israelites go, and then how in the journey out of Egypt, Pharaoh and the chariots chased them, and then they got to the Red Sea. But then how God miraculously parted the Red Sea. And even though Pharaoh and his army went into the Red Sea, the sea, came over and kind of basically snuffed out the whole Egyptian army. Now, you may be thinking of Charlton Heston and, the Ten Commandments, as for those of you who are old enough to remember, that movie, right? But you'll remember how God did this miracle for the Israelites, right? And so God is basically reminding them that, look what I did for you. Remember how I delivered you. Remember how I delivered you from slavery. Remember all the things that I did to bring you into the promised land. I mean, it was really a big deal. It was like a miracle, right? You get to the sea and you don't know where to go. And then the sea basically opens up. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? But yet the Israelites forgot. Now, you may be thinking, well, of course they forgot because, this happened many, many ages ago. This happened generations ago. Maybe it was because, it was a long time back. Maybe they felt like they were too far removed. But if God is the God of the Israelites, surely he would have done other things as well in that current generation. It wasn't just remembering what happened to their forefathers, but it was also remembering what God did for that current generation. Now, I want to kind of bring this concept of remembering back down to us. As we think about our past, as we think about even 2018, how has God delivered you and I? Maybe perhaps through peril, through difficulty. Maybe he helped us conquer an enemy. Maybe it wasn't the Egyptians. Maybe it was something else. God wants us to remember and to call to mind the things that he's done in the past and to not forget them. It doesn't have to be a miracle. Sometimes we have experienced miracles. Sometimes it may be a big thing like parting of the Red Sea, but sometimes it could even be a very small thing, perhaps, that God has done. But yet, are we still able to remember them? Or are we like the Israelites? We have a tendency to forget. Now I've shared a testimony with you in the past about a brother from our New Vine family who's from Eritrea and who was persecuted and put in jail because of his faith. He was a pastor in his home country, and then he was able to escape miraculously and come to the U.S. on political asylum. And then I shared with you how earlier in the year he was able to get two of his kids out, how they trekked through the night, how they were basically smuggled out, walked through the jungle. And then I think I shared with you last month that in the beginning of December, those two kids came and were reunited with the father. And then last Sunday, his wife and his six-year-old son was reunited. And so at New Vine today, they're going to be there and we're going to get to meet them. But that's a huge thing. How I shared how God really moved the nations, right? How God reconciled Eritrea and Ethiopia and how basically the land borders opened. And then what he told me yesterday was the land border closed. So it was just a matter of a couple of months. That opportunity was so small. But I met with them yesterday, and he basically said, yeah, the borders were closed now, so no one can go back and forth anymore. But it's just amazing how the Lord has delivered his family and has reunited them after almost 6 years. And that's a huge thing, right? But I want to ask you, in your life, what has God done that's been huge? As I reflect on my life, there's a lot of things, and in my own story, and some of you may know some of my own story, and I don't have time to go through all the details, and I can share with you more in person. But as I reflect on my own story, I think about, I was born in Vietnam. We came right as Saigon was about to fall when I was three, and that's a huge thing, right? God delivering our family, coming as refugees, and then God's faithfulness in my life, despite my earthly father passing away when I was an infant. And then, You know, I've shared the story about how I didn't really do well in school. I was on AP, not advanced placement, but academic probation, and then how, like, even though the Lord, you know, even though my own unfaithfulness, the Lord was still very faithful, and you know, the last 20-some years been able to work in biotech, and then even, like, some of you know, Cheryl and I, our relationship, and how there was a lot of obstacles or opportunities that were presented by some of the elders on one side of the family. So, you know, so all of those things are huge things, right? And then, you know, even after we got married, you know, how for a while, you know, we had a few miscarriages, you know, we were dealing with infertility, and then how, like, we were so happy when Josiah was born, it was like a miracle, and then now 3 kids later, we're like, oh, they drive us crazy. They're like, we're, like everyone's screaming, and, like, the house is, like, just like chaos, exactly, right? But it's like, but that's what we wanted. I mean, we wanted kids, right? Not necessarily chaos, but we wanted kids, right? And so it's kind of like, oh, I forget about all the good things that God has done, right? Just like the Israelites, right? So my thing, my challenge to you today is, let's not forget. Let's remember how God delivered us from the Egyptians. Let's remember. Some of us come from immigrant families. Some of us are first generation. Some of us came, you know, fleeing war-torn countries. Some of us came for a better life for our kids, right? For those of us that were born here, we may not have experienced some of that anguish or pain or growing up in a foreign country. But I'm sure God has done other miraculous things in your life. So as we enter this new year, my encouragement to you is, let's remember what God has done for you. You know, going back is, I was saying I forget, right? And I think I forget because I get comfortable. I get used to it. It becomes status quo. Like, you know, oh, we really wanted to get married. Oh, we really wanted to have kids. And then I was like, oh, kids, of course, you know? But it's like you get comfortable. You get settled with what God has given to you. And it's so easy to take those things for granted. But yet 5 or 10 years ago, you were desperately crying out to God for those things. And it's like, you know, you get caught up with everyday life, and then you get caught up and you get buried down with your current troubles, and we forget. But we need to be retelling these stories of God's faithfulness to each other. We need to be saying, hey, remember that time when we were praying for this thing? And look what God did. Look how God answered our prayers. Let's not forget, my brothers and sisters, and we need to continue to testify and share with others so that we don't forget. You know, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, you know, I get old, I forget, right? But let's not forget, okay? And then it's interesting because then it goes on to the next verse in verse 17, the second action word and command. It actually says forget. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And you're kind of like, wait a second. I thought we're supposed to remember. Why is it in the next verse that God is saying, forget? You know, why? I'm a little confused now. Like, I thought I was supposed to remember, but now I'm supposed to forget. Well, it's quite fascinating how the verses switch, right? Where Israel is told to look at the past by remembering what God did. But then in verse 18, it says, they're told to forget the former things. You know, there is a sense that we must remember the things in the past in terms of God's great work in our lives. But there's also a sense in which we must forget and forsake the past with all of its discouragement, with all of the defeat, with all of the despair, and to really move on to what God has in store for us. You know, remember the Israelites at this point, they were in exile, they were in captivity, they were mired in their current situation. They were basically not sure of what their future had in store for them. They were probably downcast. They were beaten up. And it was so easy for them to cling on and to remember the current sufferings. But God is telling the Israelites to forget the former things. Forget the things that have hurt you. Forget the things that have been bogging you down. You know, the enemy is really good at focusing us on the negative things, at reminding us to dwell on our current circumstances, especially if we feel like we're in a pit. You know, Satan is so good to feed us these lies, you know, of whatever situation that we're going through, all the negative things. You know, it's like, well, you know, you should just have a pity party, or you should just, you know, linger on to this, hold on to this depression or to this fear or this anxiety or this worry that you're going through. But God is saying, no, forget those things. God is saying, no, give those things to me. Now, I'm not saying we need to, like, deny those things or to sweep them underneath the carpet or to avoid them or to not deal with them. But what God is saying is for us to bring them to him so that we can forget those things, so that we can forget the discouragement, so that we can forget the despair, so that we can forget the difficulties. I don't know what your current situation is. Maybe 2018 wasn't a banner year for you. Maybe it was a very difficult time. For some of us, maybe we had some health issues. For others, maybe it was some family struggles or challenges. Maybe some of us lost our jobs. Maybe you're feeling right now that you're in some sort of captivity, feeling discouraged or in despair. But I believe today that the God is inviting us to let go of those things, to let go of the past, to forget. What is that one thing or things that you and I are still holding on to, even as we've crossed into 2019? Something that we've been dwelling on from the past, some hurt that we haven't yet allowed the Lord and given it up to him to allow him to heal us. Perhaps it's been a regret or a mistake that we've made that we're still holding on to and that we really haven't forgiven ourselves over. Maybe it's something that you're thinking, oh, I should have done this. Or maybe I should have really studied harder in school, you know, in this subject. Maybe it's a negative emotion or attitude that's been bogging you down. You know, the Lord is inviting us today, whatever that thing is, to give it up to him. He's inviting us as we give it up to him that he would help us to forget. He will help us to bring a new thing about. You know, sometimes we think about forgetting the negative things, right? But I think sometimes we even have to actually almost forget about even some things that may be good or good times. You know, for those of you who may have grown up in this church, I being one of them, I sometimes it's easy for me to go back to the past and to say, oh, those glory days, you know, oh, the good old days, you know, like, oh yeah, I remember when church was like this, or oh yeah, I remember when our young adult group was like 50 people and like we had a blast and a lot of you are still here. You know, I remember, you know, when I was in college, I remember like looking back and, oh yeah, I remember the high school days, you know, the youth group days. And then I'm like, hey, but what about the youth group now? It's like different. And, you know, and it's easy to remember the glory days, but it's also easy to get judgmental. You know, and to say, oh yeah, you know, well, that's because we were in charge and that's because we did things this way. And now, you know, it's like a new crowd and they're doing things differently. And maybe perhaps God is saying, you need to also forget about those good glory days as well, because maybe perhaps the circumstances are different. Maybe perhaps God is doing something in a brand new way. Maybe perhaps God is doing things that is above me and above my ability to understand? Is there something from the past that you're holding on to that may remind you of the good old glory days of when things were in years past? Maybe that's something that you also need to bring to the Lord and forget. You know, staying stuck in the past can really keep us from the next few verses. You know, it can really keep us from the new thing that God wants us to do. So as we enter into 2019, I want to ask you to think about, what is it that you're holding on to that you haven't released to the Lord, that he wants you to let go and to forget? Now, these two concepts of remembering and forgetting, it's interesting because we have a tendency, or at least I don't know about you, but I have a tendency of remembering the things that I'm not supposed to remember. You know, like, it's like I have a tendency to remember the things that are bogging me down and forgetting the things that God has done, right? But God is basically saying, no, you got it all wrong. You need to switch it up. You need to remember the things that I've done and forget the things that are bogging you down, right? This next few verses from 19 to 21, this last action verb of see, right? It says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals, the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. You know, God is telling the Israelites to open up your eyes, look at the new thing that I'm about to do. You know, perhaps they were too preoccupied with their own difficulties, with being in exile, with being, you know, held captive by the Babylonians. Perhaps they were not even paying attention to what God was doing around them and dwelling on their circumstances to not see what God was doing. You know, God is actually always at work, and sometimes we don't even have an idea of what God is doing. And sometimes it's because either one, we're not paying attention, maybe we're not spiritually sensitive to what God is doing. Like, do you want to see the new thing that God is doing? Do you want God to open your eyes to really say, hey, look, I'm actually doing this thing? And that's really my prayer for all of us today and this year, is that we would wake up, that we would see, that we would say, God, I want to see. Will you show me this new thing that you are doing? I want to perceive this new thing. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss how you're working in my life or those around me. I don't want to miss out if you're working in my neighbor's life and he's not a believer yet and you're doing something and I had no idea that you were working. I don't want to miss out. Or I don't want to miss out in my classmate's life because he or she is going through a difficult situation and he shared a little bit with it to me. I don't want to miss out. I want to see, God, how you can use me in that situation. What is God doing in our lives that is new? I think we need to take time to really ask the Lord to show us what he's doing. You know, to really say, God, maybe I've been too preoccupied. Maybe I've been blind. But just open my eyes. Give me a new vision, a new insight into your kingdom reality, and to ask him to show us what new thing. Now, this verse also talks about how he's making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, between the captivity in Babylon and the return to Israel, there were hundreds of miles of wilderness. But God was telling the Israelites that he was making a way. In other In other versions, it says streams in the desert, right? So even though the path before them was very dry, very desolate, that God was still providing. God was still making a way. And it even says that in verse 20, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owl, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, God was even saying that he was going to protect his people from these wild animals, and that even the wild animals would honor him, that God would protect them as they travel back to Israel. As they go through this desolate land, not only would he provide streams of living of water, but he would protect them, that he would go before them. And that's how it is for us today as well. That even as we enter into this new year, that whatever perhaps journey God is leading us to or leading us on, that God is going to continue to provide for our sustenance. God is going to continue to provide for our living. If we've lost a job, God is going to provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's going to provide water in the wilderness. But will we trust him? Are we able to say, yes, God, I trust you? Even though if I don't know how, you know, I think a lot of times we worry about the details of how God's going to fulfill his promise. But you know what? It's not for us to worry about. If God promises this one thing, if he says he's going to make a way in the wilderness, we have to trust him on that. We have to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to trust that you have your resources. I'm going to trust that you have your plans that I don't even know about. Another way of looking at this is, what do you want God to do in your life this year? What new thing do you want the Lord to do? Is there something that you want to commit to God and say, Lord, I want to commit perhaps my relationship with my parents to you? Perhaps, God, I want to commit my prayer life to you. I want to go deeper in my prayer life with you. Or maybe you want God to transform a broken relationship, to make it whole again. What is this thing that you want God to do in your life this year? So I want to take the next few minutes to ask you to really think about these three concepts. And as you walked in, you received a slip of paper. Hopefully you received a slip of paper. If not, the ushers will have some for you. And hopefully you received a pencil as well. And if not, you can pull out your iPhone or your smartphone, and maybe you can jot down a few things. But I want to use the next few minutes to really reflect on these three words. That as we enter in this new year, that we would remember, what is it that God has done? If you need a slip of paper, raise your hand and the ushers will bring it to you, or a pen or a pencil. What is it that God has done in your life that he wants you to remember? It could be a miracle. It could be like a parting of the Red Sea experience for you. But it doesn't have to be. It can be something small. But what is it that God wants you to remember? His goodness, his grace. Maybe you need to ask him, God, what have I forgotten? What is it that you want me to recall to memory? Jot that down. And the second word, forgetting. Are you holding on to something that you're just not willing to let go? A hurt, a pain, something from your past. Today, God is inviting you to release that to him, to write it down, to say, Lord, I submit this thing to you. To say, God, I want you to help me to forget, that I commit it to the cross. I commit it to you, for only you can bring healing and restoration. And then the third word of see. What is God doing in your life already? Ask the Lord to help you to see. What is it that God is working? How is it that God is working around you? Perhaps as we go into this new year, what is the one thing that you want God to do? That you would say, God, I want you to do this new thing in my life. And I commit it to you. On the sixth day of the new year, I give you control. I give you access. I surrender. Today, as we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, you know, it's so easy for us to come each month on the first Sunday and to make this observance a routine. It's so easy for us to take for granted what Jesus has done on the cross for us. But these three words, remember, forget, and see, also has a very significant place as we remember the Lord's death. You know, we remember what Christ did on the cross for us. Remember how he bled and how he died and how he suffered. You know, and he invites us to leave whatever past hurt at the cross. He invites us to bring to him all of those things that we need to forget to the cross. But because of his new covenant, he invites us to also see the new thing that he desires to do because of our relationship with Jesus. So even as we enter into our time of communion, I want to invite you to prepare your hearts, to reflect on what Jesus has done for you. Thank you, Jesus. God, we come before you today, this first Sunday of the new year. And God, we remember your death. We remember, Lord, the pain, the suffering that you went through. We remember, Lord, how you were beaten, how you were betrayed. And Jesus, we say thank you. We remember your precious death on the cross, the precious blood that was shed for us, your body that was broken, God, your blood that was shed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for us, Jesus, so that we could have access to Abba, Father. God, we pray that even as we come into this new year, God, we also want to reflect and remember for all the things that you've done in our lives. Lord, whether it be in 2018, whether it be in the past, we thank you, Lord, for your reminder today that you tell us to remember your goodness. You tell us to remember your provision. You tell us to remember the ways that you have taken us out of captivity, taken us out from Egypt through the Red Sea. You tell us to remember how you've taken us, Lord, from miracle to miracle. And Jesus, we say thank you. Lord, we're awed by all the things, Lord, that you have done in our own lives, but also as a church family. But God, even as we come to this new year, we also thank you, Lord, for your invitation for us today to help us to forget, to help us to let go of the things that we've been holding on to for far too long. Father, we commit to you those things. Lord, any negative thoughts, any negative emotions, any lies that the enemy has fed to us, Lord, that we've succumbed to. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to release to you, Lord, all those things that you want us to get rid of, Lord. All of our junk, Lord, that we put at the cross, Lord. We lay it down at the foot of the cross and we say, Jesus, we do not want to carry it anymore into 2019. We want to cut off any lie from the enemy. We want to cut off any depression. We want to cut off any pain. We want to cut off any sadness, Lord. We ask God that you would help us, Lord, to forget the things of the past, to not be clinging on to the hurt, Lord, that we would ask, Lord, for you to come and heal, that you would come and restore in the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, we know, God, that you desire to do a new thing in our lives. That we know, Lord, that you desire to do a new thing, Lord. And all we have to do is to look. All we have to do is to open our eyes and to see. So, Father, we ask that even as we enter this new year, that you would open each and every one of our eyes, that you would give us your new vision, that you would give us your new insight, Lord, into how you are moving in our own lives, in our midst, Lord, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our places of work, wherever we might be, Lord, we ask, God, that you would give us a new vision, Lord. And Lord, that you would give us, Lord, a new work and a new excitement for what you have in store for us for 2019. So Lord, we pray, Lord, for all the things that we have written down on this pink slip of paper. Father, we commit all of those things to you, knowing, God, that you are the Lord of all, knowing, Lord, that you are the Lord of 2019. And God, we thank you for your reminders today. And we say, Jesus, we love you. We say, Jesus, we honor you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.